Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee, and I am so happy you've joined us today. We'll be back your way with some community friends in the studio talking about Pride and Prejudice, the production in Richland Center coming up next weekend. That's straight ahead on the morning show following ABC News on WRCO-FM Richland Center. The news update at 9 is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. Currently, we're at 63 degrees.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is still shut down. President Trump just posting an AI-generated video depicting the budget director as the Grim Reaper as the administration threatens mass firings for furloughed federal workers. Music mogul Sean Diddy Combs due in a New York courtroom shortly for his sentencing on prostitution-related charges. ABC's Aaron Katursky's outside the courthouse.
Combs has been in jail for more than a year, and his team says that time spent behind bars has been life-changing, filled with reading books, writing, working out, or in therapy, and getting sober. He has also been teaching a six-week class to fellow inmates called Free Game about becoming an entrepreneur. The theme of one class, you can make money, but you can't make time.
Prosecutors are asking for an 11-year jail sentence. Police in Manchester, England say one of the two people who died during the ramming and stabbing terror attack outside a synagogue yesterday was actually shot and killed by police. This is ABC News. An hour from now, Sean Diddy Combs will be back in a New York courtroom where he will be sentenced on prostitution-related charges. ABC's Peter Haralambos will be there.
After a 30-year career that once made him one of the wealthiest men in music, Sean Combs has spent the last 12 months in a federal detention center as he's fought a sprawling racketeering case. He was acquitted of the most serious charges in July, and today he faces a judge to be sentenced for the two prostitution-related charges he was convicted on. Prosecutors want to send him to jail for 11 years. Combs' lawyers are asking for just 14 months. In an emotional letter to the judge overseeing the case on Thursday, Combs apologized for his actions and pleaded for mercy. Peter Haralambos, ABC News, New York.
Homeowners trying to renew policies through the National Flood Insurance Program are out of luck because of the government shutdown. We are also supposed to get last month's unemployment numbers this morning, but those have also been delayed for the same reason. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning from WRCO. Here's another word that you can text in to be a part of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Your chance at a piece of gold jewelry, $200 cash, or maybe tickets coming up for an upcoming football game. The keyword this hour is luck. L-U-C-K. Luck. So make sure you text that in through the Civic Media app, find WRCO, and the text button at the bottom of the screen to send in the word, or 608-647-4155. You can text it through that number as well. L-U-C-K. Luck is this hour's keyword. Good luck.
The Phoenix Center has made lunch easy and delicious. Open every day at 11 a.m., they serve a full menu with a strong focus on lunch favorites like burgers, salads, wraps, sandwiches, and signature appetizers. Whether it's a quick bite or dinner with the family, the Phoenix Center delivers even to go. Call 649-7469 for carryout and don't miss their famous pizza, a local favorite in Richland Center. That's the Phoenix Center.
Celebrating the life of your loved one is a commitment all of us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service take very seriously. I'm Nick Hodge. We have helped families since 1889 celebrate, honor, and remember the life of a loved one. Our promise to you is to provide service that allows you to be able to say goodbye while finding comfort and healing along the way. And we're available to answer your questions at any time at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. You don't need 20% down to make your homeownership dream come true.
High temps in the upper 80s to near 90 today. South to southwest winds at 5 to 13. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 62. For Saturday, mostly sunny, breezy, and very warm again. More record heat possible, a high of 88. Saturday night, lots of stars, still very mild, a low of 62. And Sunday, 83, with rain chances starting late Sunday night.
A funeral service can help us remember the person who died and share our unique memories with others, creating hope for the future. This is Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Our goal is to allow families to create a funeral service that recalls good moments and special times. We also want you to have a service that allows healing to begin. We are always willing to help at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
From America's favorite coffee to bold new beverages and irresistible snacks, Dunkin' is the brand loved nationwide and cherished right here at home. With Dunkin' Rewards, the free sips start now. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Join today and enjoy a free medium drink with purchase during your first week as a member. Experience the name that's been number one in customer loyalty for over 15 years. Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
It takes an outstanding team to keep the House on the Rock Resort Golf Course and grounds in top shape year-round, and now you can be a part of it. They're looking for a full-time golf and grounds equipment maintenance and repair technician. If you enjoy troubleshooting and putting your mechanical skills to work, this is your chance to join a dedicated crew. Call 608-935-3639 extension 1201 or visit thehouseontherock.com to learn more. Apply today and help keep something truly special running smoothly.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. On a morning show today, we are glad to put the spotlight on the Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin's Pride and Prejudice production going on next week, already next week, and it opens up. In the studio with us, director Sarah Hunt, and we have Andrew Sharp, producer, and we have a couple of the youngsters in the cast here, Gene Burkett and Sharon Zales, who will join us in a little bit. Oh man, this looks like it's going to be a great production with the cast you have. Good morning to you, Sarah. Good to have you on here.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us on. We're happy to be here.
This is your first appearance, so it's a prerequisite. You got to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, sure. Yes. So I was born in Richland Center. I lived here until about second grade, and my family moved away. We lived all over the state of Wisconsin, and then my family had moved back some time ago, but I moved back during COVID probably about 3 or 4 years ago. So I moved from a big city on the East Coast all the way back to small town, middle America.
Yeah.
Back to my roots. So it's been quite a difference, but it's been a fun experience to have my family around.
So theater and acting, has that always been a part of your life?
Yes, absolutely. I started in middle school because I was terrified of public speaking when you have, speech class. It's a lot of people don't like that class. And I decided I needed to do something to make it fun for me. And being in forensics was how I got started. And then as I became an adult, I continued acting. I attended a conservatory program out east and also trained with a few private coaches and had a lot of fun acting and auditioning out there.
So getting the chance to be a director, have you directed a lot of productions before?
Never.
Never. This is it.
This is, yes, my one and only directing.
So you have more of an appreciation for directors now, I'm sure. Right?
Absolutely. I just was thinking this past week about how often you see in a film where there's this secondary story sometimes where there's a director in the background who is losing their mind about all these things that are going wrong. And I thought, gosh, that's extra funny now, but I also know how they feel.
But we presume that things are going quite well behind the scenes, right?
Yes. All of the actors are doing so fantastic. They are so dedicated. They are learning their lines. We have Elijah, who just came on board last week, and he is just stepping right in. He's learning the accent that we're doing. He's getting his lines down already. And then we have Deer Hunter. He is 12 years old, and he is so dedicated as well. He has his lines. He's playing a soldier. He's really working on his posture and movement, and it's just fantastic.
Pride and Prejudice, did that inspire you to want to step up and direct when you heard that was what the production was?
Well, I'm the one who presented it. I love Jane Austen so much, and this is just such a good story, and it's been around for such a long time. This is actually Jane Austen's 250th birthday this year. And so it's just perfect that we're doing this play, and it's such a great story. And I know, you know, we didn't have anyone to direct, so I said, okay, this will be my one time. I'll do this.
Was it a hard production to cast?
A few parts were difficult, but for me, you know, I knew pretty much within the first 30 seconds when most people came in to audition, I knew whether or not they could fit for the role that they wanted.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a wide age range in this cast, don't you?
We do. So Hunter is the youngest at 12, I believe, and then all the way to Jean.
What?
What? That's the age range.
Yeah.
I win the prize for age.
Yes, you do. Well, I have to say, Jean, when I read the cast, because they did a press release, and I did a double...
I bet you said, is she still alive?
I had just seen you, so I knew you were still alive. But I did a double take. I'm thinking, Jean Burkett? I mean, all these years you told people where to go, basically, and now you've got to step up to the plate and be an actress, right?
That's right. That's right. It is a different role, but... I love Jane Austen just as our director does, and Pride and Prejudice is the first show I put on when I was employed at UW-Richland.
Really?
In 1973, and I just thought, I've got to be a part of that one way or another, and she was kind enough to include me, and I'm worrying about learning my lines. I screamed at students, and now I've got to do it myself. But it's a wonderful cast, I think, and it's such a great story. It's got humor in it. It's got romance in it. It's a period piece. There's just no reason everybody shouldn't come and see it.
Absolutely. I'm guessing you in your classes talked a lot about Pride and Prejudice.
Students read it as the novel that it was, mm-hmm. and I just always included it because it's such a good example of the period it was written in, and Jane Austen was a wonderful woman, and she tried to sell the novel and offer it to the world, and nobody wanted it. And it was first called First Impressions, and then ultimately a year when she really was trying to sell it. Or offer it, I should say. I don't know. I don't know what the market was for money in those days. But then a year later, it did sell, and it was just, you know, everybody loves it because it has such wonderful characters in it, and it is so well written. And her
satire and her irony is just so wonderful in the show. I mean, in a sentence, she can demolish somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking of Jane Austen, the writer. And so, anyway, it's just a privilege to be part of all these young people.
Does it make you feel young again, Jean?
Well, no.
No?
when you get on stage, you forget about age, and you just think about what you have to do. I don't always feel old, but I am old.
But, well, I know that people are really pleased to be able to be in the cast with you and things like that, and you share the part with Sharon.
Yes, right? I do, and she's marvelous, and she was my student. I would say 100 years ago, but that's an insult to her. It was a day or two ago, wasn't it?
It was
Sharon?
One or two days ago, yes.
Does that put the pressure on you, Sharon, that you know you've got the mentor here, and then you know?
Well, being on stage is always a form of pressure anyway. What's wonderful about this is I'm no longer the oldest person in the cast. Sorry.
And I think but it I'm so pleased. But now I ask her, why didn't you try out for the plays back when I was doing them in the good old days? And she didn't, and maybe she didn't want to then. And isn't it wonderful that at any age you can jump into theater and be somebody else and
exactly.
Do something wonderful? And so we're taking turns being Lady Catherine.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you determine who's on which night?
Well, that's the director's job, and we each do a weekend.
I see.
Mm-hmm. She does the first weekend.
Okay. So
you want to come the second weekend?
No, you come the first weekend and have such a grand time, you have to return.
Have to come back. But there's not like animosity, like you're not going to, you know... Oh. Jean's not going to hit you in the leg, so you can't go on.
I duck a lot, yeah.
Only if I can.
Oh, well, tell me about the part, Jean, that you play.
Well, Lady Catherine is a wealthy old bat, and she's probably unhappy because she has to use her wealth to kind of buy acceptability in some ways, and... she has a nephew, and of course our heroine falls in love with the nephew, and Lady Catherine does not think he is worthy. And
she is not worthy.
So she... Go ahead.
The plot is that Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy, who are the two main characters in the play, Lady Catherine, and she's right, she's an old bat, she thinks she's above everybody and sets the rules for everything, which is probably typecasting on my part.
Mine too.
But anyway, Elizabeth falls in love with Darcy, but Miss Catherine de Bourgh doesn't think that Lizzie is worthy of Pemberley and the Darcy.
After all, she's one of five children, and the Bennets aren't really that wealthy.
The and then
Bennett
there's the
family.
Mother.
Oh. And so so that's certainly a part of the plot,
exactly.
A lot of the plot.
And I would like to just interject. Somebody told me that they didn't want to come and see it because it was boring. It is not boring. It is one of those plays. There's no violence like you get in the, you know, where you throw people across the stage and fake fight and all that. There's none of that. But if you listen, like with the young people and with Lady Catherine, it is not boring. Jane Austen didn't do boring.
No, she did smart funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lines that can belittle somebody are just very short and brief, and if I could think of an example of one right now, I would. But it's great literature, and I hate to say that because that might scare somebody off and think, oh, then I won't understand it, or it'll be boring, I won't want it. It's great fun, but she just was, the critics have called her a miniaturist, that she, with little brief characters, she can, you know, just knock you dead because it's so funny and so good and so true to human nature. There's a lot of pride going on in this story, and there's a lot of prejudice going on, and thus the title. It was first called First Impressions, and then she later called it this as a novel. But it's very funny, and it's... has a happy ending.
It's basically, I shouldn't have told that, should I?
Yeah. and I think our costumes are going to be beautiful. And Andrew, I don't know if I should say this, but I think he was a genius. The set is kind of a movable, transient, impressionistic set. There are four pillars on wheels, if you will. I mean, I'm dumb about sets, and I'm used to the old proscenium stage, and mm-hmm. the couch is here, and the chair is there. And we do have a couch, but...
And chairs.
He can change... And chair. We can change... And I sit in that chair most of the time.
Yeah.
The set can be changed by moving those pillars around, and you can make it a garden. You can make it a living room. You can make it whatever you want it to be. And each of the four sides of each square pillar that are tall are painted so that it depicts either a garden scene or the parlor or whatever it is. I never would have been smart enough to think of that all the years I directed, but I think it's bringing a modern touch to a 19th century play that just brings it to life, and I'm just amazed. And what I'm most pleased with is I don't have to do any of that. But it's just anybody who's interested in technical theater, I think they'll find very interesting things going on.
And definitely. Challenges, Andrew, as you look at this, this certainly does present some challenges. Sounds like you figured them out, though.
Well, it was Glenn Dunn that actually suggested the columns idea. Although, when we did, long ago, when we did The Secret Garden, I did the same concept. Only it wasn't pillars, it was just flats, movable flats, that we could move around to represent places in a mansion. But still, you know, it's always a synthesis. So Glenn suggested one thing, and then I said, well, we could do it like this. And then you actually build it, and it's something else again. So it's always a synthesis.
Especially when it works.
Yeah.
And it does.
Right.
Cross your fingers, right?
Yeah. So, and that's a lot of the fun of staging a show, is getting together and saying, how can we do this and how can we do that? Myself and Greg Schmidt and Brandon Merkel would get together and come up. And you could never point out and say, it was me that thought of the, you know, it was all three of us that would come up with these things. So,
and this production is going to be the first in the revamped auditorium, right?
Yeah, and the revamped auditorium is really something, and of course I'm on the board, so I feel this way, but it's worth coming to the show just to see the revamped auditorium. There's new seats. It's been repainted. The stage has been repainted.
They're carpeting today, or painting, or something.
They're putting the carpet. We're putting the carpeting in on the 6th, but it's already there. They're going to install it. You know, we had to tear out the entire floor. And when I say we, I'm using the royal we very much. The floor wasn't torn out, but it was built over with wood. You'd never know it, because it was glued down, nailed down, screwed down, bolted down, and it feels as solid as concrete. But we had to completely redo the floor and change it so that there's more room between the rows of seats. And so the seats are much more comfortable, much more spacious. The new people on the Richland Center Auditorium Board are really movers and shakers. And they have really made a huge difference there. And they keep on. I feel guilty, because every day I show up at the auditorium to do something for the show, and the board members are there working on rebuilding and painting and cleaning and you name it. So.
And I would like to point out about the seats. They have it fixed so that people who didn't fit in those little small seats before are able to do two seats if they have to, and the handicapped accessibility is wonderful. The seats are very comfortable, people, very comfortable.
Yeah, can't wait. It's got to be an honor, Sarah, to direct this, and a show of this era in that historic auditorium. They kind of fit together, don't they?
It is. They absolutely do. I am so excited. I love that auditorium so much. Just the way it was built too, just the sound carries so well from the stage, and it's just so beautiful. And I love thinking about how many generations, especially of my own family, you know, probably have been sitting in that audience taking in shows for all this time. It's just lovely. I love it.
Productions start next week, Friday, and then the following week as well, then, I take it.
Yes, they do.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully people will come out and see the show and see what it's all about. I mean, you've got a real good cast and maybe a well-known story. I think most people know the story, but there have been a lot of adaptations over the years of this too, right?
Yes, there have. The one that we are doing is based upon the 1995 BBC version of Pride and Prejudice. And it's just a lot of fun. There's some definite awkward scenes with Elizabeth and Darcy that are only in that 1995 version that will be here. And if you've seen that version of Pride and Prejudice on TV, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. And, you know, certainly you've cast it well. It sounds like, you know, we've talked about a few of them. Would you like to talk about any other cast members?
Oh, my goodness. Everybody. They're just doing such a great job. Summer is coming in as Mrs. Bennett, and she is just so naturally funny and just really took to being Mrs. Bennett instantly. And then we have Dave, Tim as Mr. Bennett, and they just play off each other so well. And then Maddie Krostenberg and Stella Woodhouse are playing Lydia and Kitty. And they are just great as the sisters. They just naturally have that sisterly kind of love, but then also you get mad at your sister, and it's just so cute. Just everyone's coming together, and the relationships are so good. And Matt Rowe is so dedicated to being Mr. Darcy. He's doing a fantastic job. I'm going to forget about somebody, but they're
Emily
all just...
Emily Zaria.
Yes, Emily is doing so lovely as Lizzie, and it's been so great watching them work on the scenes where it's just her and Darcy, and just seeing them play off one another. They're just doing so fantastic.
Can't wait to see it. I know you got to take off here in a little bit, but we'll take time out. We'll let you go. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
You bet. And we're going to keep Andrew and Jean and Sharon for a little while longer here in our room. Pride and Prejudice going on starting next weekend in our city at the City Auditorium. We'll have more about it on the morning show next.
At USA Mortgage, we get it. Not everyone has 20% down or perfect credit. That's why we're proud to be ranked among the top FHA, VA, and USDA mortgage lenders in the country. Whether you're a first-time buyer or starting over, yes, you can buy a home. Don't believe us? Call the Schultz Mortgage Team today at 608-738-8765. That's 608-738-8765. Let's make home happen.
If you're looking for a workplace that truly cares, at Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, it's more than just a job. It's a career with purpose. They put people first, offering great benefits, growth opportunities, and a positive, supportive environment. Rockwell is proud to stand behind its employees and support the Richland Center community every step of the way. Rockwell Automation, a great place to work, a great neighbor to have. Now hiring. Learn more today at rockwellautomation.com.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Looking for a career where tradition meets opportunity? Join the legacy at Scott Industries, a proud family-owned business celebrating 75 years. They're expanding and hiring dedicated team members. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscatine, or call 739-3171 to learn more. Scott Industries, a profit-sharing company where you can grow your career.
Hello, this is Kenny, the wannabe baker from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe in downtown Richland Center. Looking for a sweet treat or a delicious lunch? Stop into Christie's. Kelly, Diane, or Claire will be more than happy to serve you. Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe is closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, open Wednesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home in Spring Green. Want to give your house a new look? Whether it's one room or a whole house, we can help. From the industry's best Karastan carpet to exceptional hardwood floors by Mirage, or even if it's vinyl plank, we have it. Want a new kitchen or bath? We can help with that too. Quality products and quality service from a company you can trust. Wirtz Floor and Home.
You may have thought that compact tractors are too expensive. Well, LS Tractors offering 0% for 72 months. Subcompact tractors with motors starting at $267 a month. Larger compact tractors with motors as low as $309 a month. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractors. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors have hydrostatic transmissions and will not break your bank. Learn about the full line of LS Tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Elevate your fitness game with SUPS. That's S-U-P-P-Z.
S-U-P-P-Z.
SUPS, your go-to destination for trusted brands at unbeatable prices.
No gimmicks, no fluff,
just results. Ditch the fake reviews and mystery blends. Experience the SUPS difference today.
Proudly fueling local athletes.
800-968-0993. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. SUPS.
Venomore.
John Deere is putting in work and putting up highlights.
Oh man, look at those passes. Tillage, planting, harvesting.
3 years in and these pre-owned machines are still at the top of their game. We're talking reliability, performance, and long-term potential.
And get this, these veteran machines can pick up the latest precision tech with ease.
You know it, and fans ready to add John Deere certified pre-owned equipment and more options to their lineup can shop at machinefinder.com.
Booyah!
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned into Wiffle's Country WYFF, the station that's been family-owned and fiercely independent for almost 80 years. No nonsense, just common sense and chart-topping corn hybrids coming to farm gates all over the Central Corn Belt. Stay tuned for more Wiffle's Country hits like She Thinks My Colonel's Sexy, I Got 99 Problems But Yield Ain't One, and Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Sell Soybeans. Thanks for listening, and remember to keep it independent with Wiffle's Hybrids.
We're talking about Pride and Prejudice today on The Morning Show. Sarah Hunt, director, on with us in the first half. Andrew Sharp, Gene Burkett, Sharon Zales are here to tell you why you should go see the show. Andrew, certainly as producer, you wear many hats here. You kind of oversee a lot of things. But are there some challenges to put on this show, or how do you look at it?
Well, this show... horrible timing. I maybe shouldn't say that on the radio, but it's been horrible timing. We just got done with Little Shop of Horrors, and then we wanted to do a fall show, and so we were going to do this show, and for it landed where it landed. Well, now way back, we decided that we were going to do the show, and then after that, our CPAC says, "Hey, we've got these seats that we can get. We're going to put these seats in." So while the rehearsal is going on, the Performing Arts Council people are putting in the new floor, the new seats. I mean, when Sarah shows up to do the auditions, there are no chairs in the entire auditorium. They've all been ripped out. So it has been a challenging show because of it's just kind of been bad timing for everybody. Sarah didn't mention this, but she got a new job while this is going on. And so we have been struggling with all these kind of behind the scenes problems that you don't always have.
Can only make you better, though.
Well, it certainly is going to result in things that are better. I mean, the better seats, the brighter auditorium, things like that. We've gotten some more lights recently. I've got Kevin Riley is doing our lighting, and we've gotten some light fixtures, and so we're going to have more lights to put up there. But yeah, there have been challenges, but they are things rather than people. So, or issues with the play itself.
Have you been around Pride and Prejudice productions before?
No, this is the first Pride and Prejudice production that I was, I'm afraid, too young for Gene's production back in the 1973
More
when I was
pity.
Yeah, 13 years old. But generally aware of Pride and Prejudice, and when we started out, I wasn't sure whether I'd read it in college or not, but now that I see the story, I go, no, that was not one they had me read. So,
lots of adaptations, as you mentioned earlier, and lots of movies kind of loosely based on the storyline as well. Right,
right? Yeah, it's a very attractive storyline, so I see why people would want to take it. A very earnest and engaging woman, but she's poor, and a rich and kind of snooty guy, and the two of them, the path to true love never runs easily, and so they've got lots of obstacles to overcome.
Could you go over the dates and the times for the production?
Yeah, the show is going to be October 10th and 11th. That's Friday and Saturday. That's at 7 o'clock at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Sunday, October 12th at 2 o'clock. And then the next weekend, which
17th,
I'm,
isn't it?
Yes, 17th, 18th.
And so the 17th and 18th, Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock again, and October 19th at 2 on the Sunday. Tickets are $15 for adults and $10 for those 18 and under 18. So, and the tickets are only available at the door.
Mm-hmm. That'll work out well.
Are Sharon. We doing the family package, too?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
Sharon, what about the costuming?
Oh, Jen Seide is our costumer, and she's done many productions. If you ever see Jen at the thrift shop, she makes all her own clothes out of curtains and shower curtains, and they're fabulous. I keep telling her closet must be so interesting. But she is costuming this, and she's been trying to put everyone in an appropriate outfit for the part. And it's been somewhat of a challenge. They're looking for just a certain couple of items now for the soldiers, but I think she's doing an amazing job. I've seen the costumes. We will be wearing the costumes. Oh, and can I just do a side note? I was kidding about only coming the second weekend. Come both weekends. Anyway. So we will be sharing the same costume as we share the part. But the other costumes that she's put together, I think, are really, really amazing. So she's doing a wonderful job. And I would like personally, as house manager, to recognize that we have a house staff. We will sell tickets at the door. And as he said, they're $15. And we have people, Gene has graciously volunteered to help hand out programs or take tickets.
The weekend I'm not Lady Catherine.
Sure.
And the second weekend, I hope to be able to sell tickets, because I won't be Lady Catherine that weekend. So it's going to work out. It's just when you work in the auditorium, it'll be the one station that's open to sell tickets, but you can buy tickets as soon as you walk in the door. You just have to wait for the doors to open, which generally happens half an hour to 45 minutes before show. It depends on what's going on.
You might want to mention two sets of doors.
Well, we'll talk about, and you mentioned the elevator. This is a good one to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
For those of who are challenged, there is an elevator in the building that will take you from the entry on the side by the parking lot. This is where the elevator is, and you go up to the second floor.
And it goes also to third floor.
Yes, but third floor where the bathrooms are. That's important to know.
I don't know if we're opening the balcony or not.
No, the balcony has got to have its seats replaced and stuff like that. And so there's actually no seats in the balcony.
Oh, is that right?
Point. Yeah. So.
So, but you could. That's where the bathrooms are. You can go up to third floor to use the bathrooms. Right.
And I was on the auditorium committee, you know, a lot of times. I don't know what, but anyway. It has two pretty bad bathrooms kind of down near the stage, but it has an absolutely wonderful, clean, efficient bathroom upstairs. And so for the comfort of everyone and for the good of the auditorium, that's a giant step forward, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we should mention, Andrew probably would mention this, Community Players and the RCPAC are two separate organizations. We work together, but we're not the same thing.
Do you share productions then? I mean, one does a production and then the other. Do you rotate or alternate? Andrew, how does that work?
Mick Cosgrove really keeps track of the schedule, and so he will bring things in. And then I'll say, well, we'd like to do a show, and then he basically schedules us into the show. You know, we're a bigger deal because most of the stuff that he schedules, that they come in, they set up, they play, they tear down, they leave. But we're there for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And so we tie things up to some degree. So, for instance, in the spring, I have reserved 2 weekends in April where we could do a show. And the board keeps asking me, well, what show is that going to be so we can put it in our literature? And I go, we don't know yet. We don't meet until November, and then we talk about shows and so on. And they would like to have a schedule that is planned out year by year so they can send things out, which I understand. But that's not how Community Players has run in the past. Maybe we'll have to change. But I like reserve dates. Kudos to Mick for everything else he does in the community, that he also does that scheduling and takes care of that.
This is the last show of the year then, and then you'll resume in the spring for your next
right.
production.
Right. There was some talk about doing a Christmas show, but we really couldn't fit it in at this point because the auditorium board has got things coming in. And plus, quite frankly, I need a rest. We did Escanaba in the Moonlight in the spring. We did Little Shop of Horrors in the summer. Now we're doing this. And then I was in a show in Viroqua over the summer.
Enough.
I am looking forward to a little bit of a rest. So
yeah, no doubt. Gene, I'm curious. Do you remember the cast that you had in 1973 at the campus?
I was the director.
Right.
Do you remember the cast?
Do you remember the cast? The leads or anything? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Well, yeah.
I had the program. I went down to the... I have a cage. I'm in a cage. We have a cage for excess furniture and stuff at Schmidt. And I went down to my cage, and I have a file cabinet in that. I opened the file, and there was the program for Pride and Prejudice. And I brought it out, and I brought it to rehearsal the other night, and people weren't very interested. They're in the here and now right now. But good heavens, give me a moment to think. But
you said you had Joe Shriver as
yes. Yes, thank you. You remember.
He had Paul.
Paul Fowle.
He was like in all your productions.
He played the funny part, you know, the dumb Mr. Collins. I mean, a funny, funny character, Mr. Collins. Paul loved to be in things. When 4 years went by at the new Richland campus and two directors took a walk after 2 years each and went to better jobs or whatever they thought. I was just teaching a couple sections of English there and had taught a semester when the county college closed. Well, enough about me. But anyway, Dean Papke walked out of my office and said, I hear you've done plays. Would you like to do the play? And the spring play. And I said, yes, I would. I mean, because I had been in community players and I do love theater. So I decided to do Pride and Prejudice. And yes, but I said, there is this caveat. I can't do it with 8 students maybe or 12 auditioning when I need 30 people. So can we open it to community people or call it community theater or whatever and have a nice balance? And quite frankly, to get an audience, everybody might not come to see a cute young girl from Westby or Viola or wherever she might be, but they might come to see Paul Fowle make a fool of himself on stage, make a lovely fool of himself on stage as an actor. So I said, can we have community people in the plays to balance it out so the older people are older and the characters and the younger people are what they are? And it seemed to work out. I tried to always politically be correct and have as many students as I had community people so that those people supporting the university couldn't say, look, you're just giving this community a lot of fun and we're not educating these young students. And it turned out to be, I think, a nice balance. We did sometimes 6 shows, 3 each weekend for 2 weekends, and we would fill the theater very often. And I remember, was it Catherine Lyle who came, or was it some other dignitary from Madison came when we were doing Of the I Sing, or we were doing a big show, and she came to the show, and it worked. It was that was the show, and it was glad. I was glad, and we were glad that we had a larger audience that saw that we did pretty good theater here. And I think we gave so many students opportunities to be on stage, including Phil Nee.
I know. I'm so blessed to have been in your production. I think 4 or 5 of them.
And you were a community person, and you joined us. And what's the one I wrote? The
House of 7 Gables.
Yes, yes. We called it the House of 7 Grables for fun. But anyway, it was a novel that I love, and I've taught a lot, and I dramatized it probably not very well. But anyway, you were in that. And you were excellent. You were excellent.
Well, thank you.
And it was one of the shows I'm most proud of. We even had a live chicken in that show. Do you remember the chicken?
I did. And I remember you, because
a lady from our church volunteered a chicken. I hope the chicken didn't die afterwards. Maybe died of disappointment not being a star forever. But anyway, that was part of the farmyard and the chicken, and we had that chicken. So we all had a lot of fun, and I hope we were kind to the chicken.
But I think anyway, we were. The thing I was going to mention, too, about Paul Fowle, too. Yep. Do you remember Little Me? The production,
yes,
Little Me?
Yes.
And he was in there. He had to ride a motorcycle out on stage.
Yes.
And the one night, I remember the brake didn't work or something. And
he almost hit the wall. Or maybe he did.
I think he did.
Yes.
I had to ride a bicycle in Zoe's production of Wizard of Oz, which Andrew and Dave Tim and I were in together, and you're not to be mentioned. So can I just interject on Saturday at the library, they're having a bake sale and vintage, but I'm having a table in celebration of Jane Austen's birthday. I have a lot of Jane Austen stuff. So if you can come to the library at 9 o'clock till noon or 1, I've forgotten which. I'm going to be there till they're done, whatever.
Tomorrow,
it is.
Sharon?
Tomorrow. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go home and bake brownies for this. Gluten-free brownie. But yes, if you're interested, I'll have books, and there's a movie that I'm told is a French version of, which would be interesting, of Pride and Prejudice. So, yeah, I'm planning. They all have to be checked out. But if you could come and check us out, especially the table with Jane Austen, because Jean and I are so looking forward to being alter egos for Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
And you mentioned the costuming. Did you just go in your own closet, Jean, and pull something out?
Well, you know, I did bring a costume, and the costume lady rejected it. So
it was too modern.
She thought it was too modern. I thought it would work. It shows that when I put on plays, I probably was desperate and put them in who knows what. But she wants what she wants. And I got thinking today, we haven't talked about shoes.
We'll talk about that. It's the hat I'm concerned with, because we have to wear a hat.
We have to wear a hat.
Yeah. So, you know, she
Lady
has this
Catherine,
vision
always.
And there's lots of pictures and there's lots of productions. I've got a book with Greer Garson in the lead of it. And you're way too young to know who that was, but she was a wonderful British actress.
That was the one that Edna May was in, played Lady Catherine. Yes.
Edna May Oliver.
Yeah. We should probably list the cast if we can all remember who they are. We know that Matt Rowe is Mr. Darcy. Emily Zaria is Elizabeth. Dave Timm is Mr. Bennett.
Summer Rowe.
Is Mrs. Bennett. The daughters are Emily, as we said, as Elizabeth. Callie, I don't know your last name, is Jane. And then we have Stella Woodhouse and Maddie and whoever plays, Ashley plays Mary. And then we have various and sundry. Cam Cormican is in it. He has a couple of parts. Stella Woodhouse, Alicia Woodhouse has a part in it, Stella's mom. And Kevin, who's doing the lights, also has a part in it, which is interesting. He plays the ever stuffy Reverend Collins. And who am I missing?
Yeah, that's one of the few, that's one of the nice things about theater. So Kevin is this very quiet guy. And he does the lights for us, and he's really into doing the lights and all this kind of technical stuff. And somehow, somebody dragged him down on the stage and put a script in his hand and got him to read, and he's great. He's great. He's doing a wonderful job. His children have been in things before, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and stuff like that. And he never expressed the slightest interest in being in something for me. But here he is down on stage making a fool of himself and doing a great job. So
that's a cool thing about acting, though. You know,
right,
you can be somebody else.
I
get to be snooty and angry.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's so not Gene and I.
No, you two are not that at all.
But that's how actors are found. People find their way there for the strangest reasons.
And I want to apologize to anybody I've forgotten to mention in the cast. I'm sorry.
You were asking about costumes. We're actually going to go to APT, American Players Theater, and rent costumes, some of the costumes from them, which is something that we have done in the past.
Very nice.
And they have beautiful costumes and a very well-organized...
I could go play in their costumes for hours and days.
Yeah. So. Fortunate to have them in the area where we can utilize them, too.
It really is.
You know, we moved... I shouldn't say we. I wasn't part of it. But from the green room at what was the campus, there were lots and lots of costumes. And I remember a couple of dresses from this very show that I did that were moved down. And it may well be that a costume will be used again from when it was used 50-something years ago. The high-waisted for the girls with the little ribbon down the front. And I don't know how many cutaway coats we have for the men. We'll find out from our director.
We've got them. The problem is a lot of them are actual vintage coats, and the people were so much smaller back then. You know, nobody can fit into, I mean, maybe Hunter could fit into them,
sure.
but no adult nowadays could fit into those.
Right.
Yeah, so. It's been interesting to try to, especially even with the dresses, because again, small people. Shea Schmidt could wear them. But.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
The hourglass figure, whatever you call it.
Shea's dress size is a zero.
Or minus two or something.
All shapes and sizes. Oh, yes.
I should say Shea Willis. Because,
right.
Pride and Prejudice starting next weekend. I think it's just going to be a wonderful show. Great opportunity to see people. That's the fun thing, too. You see people, you know them in their workplace or whatever on the street, and then they become somebody else on stage, Andrew.
That's the whole point of Community Players. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gene, I'm so happy that you're back, because I've bugged you a few times, like, Gene, when are you going to direct another show? And you'd always say, Phil, I'm 90 years old. What do you think? But here you are acting.
Well, why not?
Absolutely.
And I would just like to say, in parting for all of us, that It's great literature. It's a wonderful story, and it's a lovely evening to go and see theater. And I think the cast are doing a wonderful job with our director, and beautiful to see the costumes, and just I think it's a very satisfying thing. Of course, I love literature, but I think to see it played out, it's just going to be a romp. I think it'll be lots and lots of fun. So I hope everybody who wants to, with six
even
shows,
even if you don't want to, come.
Come and see us, and
come and see.
We'll love
Gene
it, and you'll love it. I think
ample opportunity to see it. Six shows, no doubt. So.
Hope so.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in here. Good luck.
Thanks
right.
for having
thank
us.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Break a leg.
No,
there
don't tell Andrew that.
Community did. Players of Southwest Wisconsin, Pride and Prejudice. Thanks to Sarah Hunt, who was here earlier, Andrew Sharp, Gene Burkett, and Sharon Zales on today's morning show.
The fall season is here. Time to think about getting your car ready for winter. When was the last time you had your coolant checked or flushed, got a tune-up, or checked your tires or alignment? Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. Stop and see us for all your fall service needs. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street in downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Searching for affordable, reliable housing? Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin is here to help you find a safe and stable place, whether you're renting, buying, or somewhere in between. They connect individuals and families with quality housing options that fit their budget and lifestyle. Because everyone deserves a place to feel at home. Call 608-647-4949 or visit us online to start your housing journey today.
If you're looking for a workplace that truly cares about you and your future, at Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, it's more than just a job. It's a career with purpose. At Rockwell, people come first. You'll find competitive pay, great benefits, and real opportunities to grow in a positive, team-driven environment where your work truly matters. From supporting innovation on the job to volunteering in the community, Rockwell is proud to stand behind its employees and give back to Richland Center every step of the way. Whether you're starting your career or looking for a fresh start, Rockwell Automation is a great place to work and a great neighbor to have. Now hiring in Richland Center. Simply visit rockwellautomation.com to learn more and apply today.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must. And Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757.
Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics is proud to offer personalized support for people with diabetes. Our team can help you set and track your health goals, practice fitting diabetes care into all parts of your life, and learn the knowledge, skills, and tools that will allow you to manage your care. Whether you are newly diagnosed or have been living with diabetes for years, we can help. Our services are covered by most insurance companies. Just ask to meet with a member of our Diabetes Education and Care Team.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark, today we'd like to talk about paperwork and wills and all the things that go on. Maybe we don't think about it. It is enough to make your head spin sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. Because at the time of death, certain paperwork and things that people are allowed to be in charge of stops, and then other activities start as soon as death happens, and another set of paperwork doesn't necessarily happen until death certificates are gotten and things are filed with the court. So at death, things change. And so we'll have a lot of people that will say, well, I'm the power of attorney. We like to let people know when you're pre-planning or anything else, if you are of a power of attorney at the time of death, if you do no other paperwork, at the moment that death occurs, you no longer have any more authority than anyone else that is on your same relationship group. So if you're a child that's a power of attorney, all the rest of your siblings have the same amount of power at the time of your parents' death, assuming that they are not married. There's a specific order that goes down of who is in charge, you know, over one group, over another. But a lot of people say, well, I'm the oldest sibling. Well, in our world, that does not matter. If you're the oldest, if you're the middle, if you're the youngest, all siblings have the same voting rights. For some things, we need to have a majority of individuals agree. So, power of attorney is really good when you're alive. At the time of death, I would say most of the time people will tell us, well, I'm the power of attorney. I have the authority. Actually, you don't. So if you feel it's important that someone in your family